Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Well, good evening, everyone. Great to see you all this evening. And did you all enjoy Dr. Michael Brown? Wasn't it a wonderful pleasure to have him with us? Great to have him, and we've already booked him for next year, so we're excited about that. And I look forward to that, look forward to what God is doing. Are you all here tonight? Is everybody present? Amen. Well, I'm really excited. You know, the Lord has been speaking to me about some things. Tomorrow I'm going to be delivering a message out of the book of Jude. And I'm kind of, you know, I don't know if I can tell you. I'm excited, but I'm not excited. It's one of those really difficult books, the book of Jude, because it's very challenging. But I believe the Lord wants to speak to us about something out of there tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that. Over the last few months, God has really been impressing very heavily on me with something that I'll be sharing with you. And you'll know that because I've been dropping it. I've been suggesting it all the time in all my sermons. I've been bringing something up, and I feel like it's come to, now I finally put it in the sermon. So we'll see what the Lord wants to do with this. I believe that this message is extremely important for us right now in the body of Christ. I feel like this message is extremely important for us right now in Oceans. And I want to challenge the leadership and my team to listen carefully tonight, because this is for all of us. Can you say amen? This is for me. This is important for all of us. Let's start in Matthew 22, verse 36. Matthew 22, verse 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. It's very clear from Scripture what the most important thing is. The most important thing for us to do as believers is to love God with all of ourselves. You know, you want to say with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. What does that mean? It means everything. It means you've got to love him with everything. You've got to love him with your soul, with your heart, with your mind, with your eyes, with your ears, with your feet, with your everything. You've got to love him with all of who you are. And what will happen when you begin to do that is you will see a natural response that will bring transformation and change to your life. I feel that this commandment is so important because I feel like a lot of problems that we have as Christians is when we slowly kind of like begin to let go or lose focus of that one important thing. You know, there's so much going on in the church today from many different denominations, different preaching, different teaching, music, lights, cameras, and action. And all this stuff going on. But the message is really simple. And it's never changed. It's been like that from the beginning. And that is that we must love God. And when you recognize what God has done for you, it's not difficult to do. But what happens to us is we get caught up in the motions of life and even in the motions of religion. And so I'm going to give you a few stories this evening. Most of them are parables. And then I'm going to give you the solution. My message is entitled, If You Leave Your First Love. If you leave your first love. And that kind of speaks for itself. The question is, what happens if you leave your first love? What happens if you don't love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind? Let's go to Matthew 25, verse number 1. We'll start there. Amen. I'll preach tonight at some point. Matthew 25, verse number 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Let's stop right there. 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish, but they were all virgins. They were all part of what was supposed to be taking place. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. It's interesting. I want you to take note that everybody knows what to do. They all know exactly what to do. They all have lamps. They know that the bridegroom is coming. They must trim their lamps. They know how to do church. They know how to do religion. They know how to do it. Are you with me? So they know what's going on. It's not like they didn't understand. They didn't know that the Lord was coming. They didn't. They just weren't prepared. They had lost something. Are you with me? It says, "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut." Everybody say, "The door's shut." I want you to know that there will come a point where that door will go shut, and you will either be inside or outside, but there is no in-between. There are many people that will suggest to you that there is an in-between. There is no in-between. You're either inside or outside. Are you with me? And I want you to take note. Now, many people and many scholars believe that this specific parable is to the Jews, and that's likely. If you study it, you'll find that that's likely. But you'll understand the context of everything I'm going to share with you tonight, because this just plays an important role. And in any event, even if it was for the Jews, listen, your oil needs to burn bright. If your oil has run out, if the oil of God has run out, the oil of the Holy Spirit has burned, but that was once burning bright in you, is no longer in that lamp, you have a problem. Jew or Gentile? Are you with me? All right. The door was shut, and afterwards the other virgins came also, saying, now this is where it gets important, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." I do not know you. Those words to me are frightening. They are frightening. And then he says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." He says to them, "I do not know you," but when they call out to him, they call out to him, "Lord, Lord." They were prepared. They were waiting for him. And now in this moment, they're calling out to him. The door is shut. And they're saying, "Open the door, Lord." And he says to them, "Listen, who are you? I don't know you." Let's jump to the next story, Matthew 7:21. Are you all okay? I want you to focus on where he says to them, "I do not know you." Because every story, or three of the stories, I'm going to show you the same message. Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Well, that kind of makes sense, because if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, guess what? Are you with me? You will want to do the will of your Father, because there is nothing else more important to you. Nothing has a higher priority. Well, you know, I don't want to give that up. Well, you'll give it up when he's the most important thing to you. Are you with me? Now, listen, guys, please, I want to say something. It's really important. I don't want you to think, listen, it's not so easy all the time, because you've got to deal with your flesh. It takes time. It's a process. I'm well aware of that. But many of us have been serving God for a very long time. And you need to ask yourself the question, because you're going to take a look at three different examples of people. Here we're looking at somebody. Let's read it further. Watch this now. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?'" Wow. We're talking about someone that knows the Lord. Listen, you can't prophesy and cast out demons unless you know who you are in Christ. Are you with me? Unless you know authority, unless you've tasted, unless you've experienced, there's just no way. Listen, Jesus himself said, listen, a kingdom cannot stand divided against itself. In other words, if you were casting out demons, you were doing it with the power of God. I mean, and they were standing there, listen, you know, Lord, did I not cast out demons in your name? Did I not prophesy in your name, Lord? And done many wonders in your name. And here it comes. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. What are you telling me? I never knew you, but you must have known me. Because I was doing your work, Lord. But now you say you do not know me. And then he says this, you who practice lawlessness. Now we're going to see this word appear again in just a little bit. And we can talk about this because it speaks of a real condition of the heart. That's what it really comes down to. And we could spend the whole day just talking about this. I don't want to do that. What I want to talk to you more about is how do we not get to that point? Because we're talking about what happens if we lose our first love. So the question is, what do we need to do to make sure that we never get to this point where even if we've been serving God, doing the things of the kingdom, even operating in the supernatural power of God, what happened to get to the place where you were doing all of those things and now you're standing before him and he says, I don't know you. I think it's pretty alarming. You know, are you with me? And you know, the thing is, we can try and reason with this as much as we like, but this is a warning, a stern warning, where Jesus uses the same text more than once. Let's go to the next story. Are you all okay? All right. Luke 13, verse 22. Luke 13, verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, there's the shutting of the door again. And you will begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you. Look at this. Where are you from? Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank. Look at this, in your presence. And you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you. Where are you from? And then he says this again, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. And then he says this, well, you know, this is not talking about, you know, this is okay, you know, because they're not gonna, you know, the Lord won't open the door, but don't worry, they're not gonna, you know, they're not gonna go to hell. Are you sure? And then he says, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know, maybe that's a nice place. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out. Now, we can talk about this because exegetically, and we can go into it and study it, and there's a lot to unpack here. But again, I don't want to go too much into this. I want you to understand that these are individuals that knew the Lord, that had been in his presence, that had some of them had been used by him. Others were part of the virgins. They had their lamps. In other words, they'd experienced it before. They knew what to do. They were prepared. But there was no oil left in the lamp. In other words, all of these individuals have gotten to a place where they're in trouble. Are you all with me? So what can be done to ensure that we don't get to this place? Now, I need to say this. This is important. If you said to me, now tell me what happened to them for them to get there, the answer is, I don't know. Are you with me? But I know what you can do to make sure you don't get there. Is that okay? So I'm going to give you the solution because everybody's journey is different. But God said to us, listen, there's one commandment that's the most important. And if you do this one thing, if you do this one thing, you're going to be okay. Because you're going to protect yourself from everything that can enter in. And the process to get to the point where you enter into lawlessness or iniquity in the heart is a long one. It doesn't happen overnight. But it can happen. It can happen to supposedly, or from what we see in Scripture, to even people that are used by God in a powerful way. If it can happen to them, it can happen to anyone. Oh, well, you know, that's the Pentecostals. Whatever. Well, then, let me just stop right there. So what can we do? Jesus gives a warning to us in the book of Revelation to a great church. Now watch this because it's really powerful. Revelation 2, verse number 1. Revelation 2, verse number 1. To the angel at the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Now watch. I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. So far, this sounds pretty awesome. Is anybody out there? So far, you can see that he's addressing this church and saying, listen, you guys are doing things right. Your works are good. You've labored not in vain. You don't compromise. You want the truth. You know, you don't bear those who do evil. You're persevering. You've got patience. You've done things well. It's all good, right? And I want to show you something quickly. Go to Acts 19, verse number 17. Acts 19, verse 17. I want to show you what the church of Ephesus looked like in the beginning. I want to show you what they looked like in the beginning so you can get an understanding. Verse 17, this became known to both Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and the fear of the Lord fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. This sounds like revival. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. Let's stop there. I want you to understand that when the power of God, when the message of the gospel got to Ephesus and the church began to move, it was a really dark city. It was a really, really evil place with the temple of Diana and all kinds of evil sexual things taking place and idolatry that would take place there. But the believers were getting saved, and they made a complete conversion. They were so passionate about God that they would bring their books and they would bring their stuff and burn it, and they would confess their sins. They would go up and they would confess their sins. They were literally having revival. They had fallen in love with Jesus. Their lives had been completely changed, completely transformed. This is what it was like for the church at Ephesus in the beginning. And then it continued. And it was still a good church for many, many years. It was a very good church. But something happened to them. Something happened to them. And the Bible tells us, Revelation 2, verse number 4. Let's go back there. Revelation 2, verse 4. It says, nevertheless. So he's complimented them, but now he says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. This is so powerful, actually, because the first thing I want you to understand is God never did anything. It was them. They didn't lose their first love. They left him. Are you with me? Doing everything. Doing the works. Doing church. Doing everything. Doing everything. This and the, everything's good. Not wanting evil. Not, you know, they were doing the things right. But something had gone terribly wrong. And the Bible tells us that they had left their first love. In other words, they'd gotten to a place, even in their religion, where they were loving more other things than the Lord himself. Perhaps they were even loving what they were doing more than him themselves. Are you with me? Sometimes we can get caught up in the motions and all the different things, and we lose our focus on what's most important. What's most important? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Come on, is anybody out there? And then he says this. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. And then he says this word, which many in the church today don't like anymore. He says, repent. In other words, what you have done is a sin. By leaving your first love, by making a decision to leave him, you have sinned. And the only way to fix it is you have to first repent and do the first works, or else I will come quickly, watch this, and remove your lampstand from its place. And then he says again, unless you repent. So the only way back is to get to that place. Listen, if you leave your first love, this is your first love. Let's say the Lord is standing here. He's my first love. If I've turned away from him, if I've left him, I've gone in this direction. In order to get back to him, I have to repent. I have to turn back and go towards him. And whatever it is that's drawn me away from him, I have to let go of. Are you with me? I have to let go of it. In the beginning with the church of Ephesus, they would sacrifice anything. They would give anything. Whatever they did before, the magic, the religions, the stuff they were part of, they burnt it, they got rid of it. There was no need for it, no desire for it anymore. But perhaps as time went on, they were doing the things in the church, but all of a sudden they were not spending time with God anymore. They were not interested in his presence the way they were before. They were not hungry for him anymore. They were doing church like we do church week after week after week. But that passion had gone. That zeal had gone. That oil had left. Are you with me? The five virgins had no oil anymore because they'd lost their passion. They weren't watching anymore. They weren't in intimate relationship with him anymore. The ones who stay in intimate relationship with God, their oil will always be full. You can do things with the gifts of the Spirit. You can know authority. You can know the word and even understand it and have revelation and have knowledge and wisdom by the Spirit. But you can still leave your first love. And when you begin to let go of him, you can go down a road that will eventually get you into great danger. It's not going to happen overnight, but it can happen. Think about it, guys. For those of you that have backslid, so I'm talking to almost every one of you, at some point in your walk with God, how did it start? You weren't hungry anymore. You didn't desire him anymore. You stopped praying. You stopped seeking him. Church wasn't important anymore. Now we can watch church at home. We can do church at home. All of a sudden, church at home became less and less and less. Are you with me? And slowly you find yourself in a place where you have left your first love. And then you can go down a even worse road. Another thing that's really important to take note of here is you must understand that he tells us to repent. In the book of Revelation, it tells us that we must repent. So there goes that theology about we don't have to repent. Because that's rubbish. You have to repent. To stay right with God, you must repent. Your sins are, the debt has been paid. Past, present, and future, but you have to make right. I've always given this analogy, and it's kind of funny. I've always said, imagine if I take my dad's car keys in the morning, jump in the car, go for a drive, crash his car, get home, throw the keys at him and say, hey, Pops, thanks a lot. Go up to my room. He goes outside. He sees the car's wrecked, comes inside. He's all upset with me. I go, hey, what's wrong, Dad? He says, well, you crashed my car. Yeah, but I'm under grace. I know you've already forgiven me. It's not logical. When I come in the door after I've crashed his car, you better believe there's going to be major repentance. Major repentance. Because I've let him down. I've disappointed him. Are you with me? He doesn't love me any less when I crash his car. But let's be honest. Let's be real. Your relationship with God must be a real relationship. He's not a slot machine that gives you benefits. He is real. Oh yes, he keeps his promises, but you have to do your part too to stay connected to him, or else you can get to the place where you will leave your first love. So how do we do this? How do we stay in a place? How does a great church like Ephesus, how does an awesome church like Ephesus get to a place where they lose their first love? Now, I'd love to take the benefit for what I'm about to share with you, but one of our Bible school students preached on what I'm going to share with you now and used this scripture from Revelation and the scripture I'm going to give you now to compare, and I was really blown away by it. And so I want to go with you to Luke 10. Watch this. This is so powerful. Luke 10, verse 38. I believe the secret lies in this story. Such a simple little story that we've read so many times. Luke 10:38. Now it happened as they were entering that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Listen to what he says. There is one thing needed. There is only one thing that is needed. He says, and Mary has chosen that good part. Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. You see, Martha was serving and serving and doing all the different things, but Mary chose the better part. Mary chose the part that would not be taken away from her. Why? Because that's what it's all about. Listen, Martha was doing nothing wrong. Serving is important. It's good to do the things of the ministry, to be involved, to be plugged in. All of that stuff's great. But what's most important and why we're doing all of this right here is so that you will be able to go to the feet of Jesus, so that you will be able to have intimacy and relationship with him. There is no other reason. Otherwise, we fail. Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. Lord, we ministered in your name. We were in your presence. But if we can't even be a people that are hungry for him, if we can't be a people that are desperate for him, we've lost the plot. We've missed the point of it all. The most important thing to him, without any doubt, is that you know him. That's why he said to them, I do not know you. Because you've missed it, you've lost it. You were doing all the things, but I don't know you. The only way that you can guarantee that you will never get to that place, and again I say, I want to make sure I make this clear. It doesn't happen overnight. To get to that place where you get so far, it takes a lot, guys. But you can end up losing your way completely. A great church like the church at Ephesus, study your Bible. Timothy is, the book of Timothy is writing to the pastor of Ephesus. Lots of the book of Acts is addressing Ephesus, the church at Ephesus. Because it was a great church. We can be a great church, but if we are not a people that desire to be in his presence, that desire him with all of our hearts, we're going to miss it. If we lose our first love, we're going to miss it. They can say whatever they want about us, about me. They can say whatever they want. But there's one thing they cannot take away from me. And that is that I will love him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my strength. I will do it with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength. If it makes me crazy, it makes me crazy. If it makes me excited, it makes me excited. but I will be passionate for him. I will desire him. I will seek him. I will knock. I will ask. I will hunger. I will thirst, and I will not let him go. I will seek him with all of my heart. I will make sure that we stay in a place as a church where we remain hungry for the presence of God. I don't care if we just had the Feast of Pentecost. I'm still hungry for the presence of God. I want more of his presence. I cannot get tired of his presence because I know what happens in his presence. That's where you get healed. That's where you get delivered. That's where you find out who you are. That's when life really begins, when you go to the feet of Jesus. That's why Jesus said, she has chosen the better part. She has chosen the part that will not be taken away from her, because it all comes out of that part. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a big clap. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Martha is doing everything like the church at Ephesus. She's doing it. She's doing the right thing. She believes strong. Her faith is strong. She loves the Lord. She's doing everything. But Mary is sitting at his feet. Mary is sitting at his feet. Oh, well, you know, Pastor Alex, I'm a Christian. Well, that's great. So am I. Oh, yes, and you will know them by their works. Absolutely. But what has it become to you? A duty? A responsibility? Are you part of a church because of status? Because of what is it about to you? What is it about to me? We will all stand before him one day. And when we see him, see, when I get to the gates of heaven, I'm not going to wonder what he's going to say. I'm just going to run. I'm just going to run to him. Because he's all I desire. And it's so easy to lose your focus. It's so easy to forget where you came from. And what happened to you the day that he really touched you and saved you? I'm not talking about being forced. I'm talking about that day where he really touched you. That the day that you really gave your heart to him and you cried out to him and you said, Lord, take all of me. I'll serve you with my whole heart, Lord. We will not become a people that let go of our first love because we're too busy doing all the stuff of church. We will worship him because we love him. We'll come here because we love him. We'll wake up in the morning and pray because we love him. We'll serve him and follow him because we love him. We'll do things because we love him, not because it's the right thing to do. And theologically, it makes sense. No, we'll do it because it's our desire. The only way that you can guarantee is to love him with all your heart. And you cannot lose your way if you do that. Because like he says, if you love me, you will do my will. It's just a natural response. I'm always heartbroken when I'm faced in a difficult situation, a challenging situation, and the word is presented and rejected. And it's rejected because it's not the will of God, it's the person's will. It's what they've decided to do. They don't care what the Bible says. Please, God, let me never get to that place. Let us never get to that place where we put anything above the word. Because if we truly love him, nothing can go above his word. Are you with me, guys? Is everybody okay? I think I'm okay too, okay? This is so heavy on me. Believers sitting in church, believe in Jesus. but he's not the Lord of their life. And I don't say that in that way. I say it with a broken heart. Because you'll never ever be able to understand what it's like to just fully surrender to him. The best moments I've had with God have not been in church. They have been in my room at home when I've been with him alone. The best encounters I've had with him have been when no one else was looking. And I would be on my knees or on the floor, on my face, whatever it was, like many, many times, different times, but encounters with God that I will never be able to forget. When last did we make a decision to do that when no one else is looking? Jesus said, when you pray, shut the door. Go into the secret place. And in the secret place, that's where he'll meet with you. That's where he'll touch you. That's where he'll change you. Church is a wonderful place to be equipped. Yes, we can have revival here, but I promise you, you can have revival in your bedroom at home, whenever you really want it. Well, you know, what if nothing happens? What if I feel nothing? Well, you are going to have many times where you feel nothing, friends. I know what I'm talking about. I'll go and pray. And like I remember when I started, I call the beginning of your Christian walk the honeymoon phase. When you like really encounter God, you go into your prayer room, you lift your hands and the fire of God just hits you. And it's like the power of God's all over the room. Now it takes like 4 hours to get there. Before it would be like I wouldn't even be in the room yet. And it would be like glory in the room, you know. Now you're like, oh God, what? I need a new song. I need to change the atmosphere. What's going on? He wants to see how hungry you are. He wants to see if you'll go after him. Or you're more concerned about making sure that you don't miss that TV show. Or we're more concerned about all the different things going on. Naomi and I were talking about how terrible Facebook is. How it takes our time, so much of our time. You know, we realize we've got a problem. Her more than me, definitely. What I mean is whenever you've got your phone, you always happen to go look and see, and it wastes time. Distractions, so many distractions. Distracting us from what's most important. Well, what's the most important commandment? Are you with me? Let's bow our heads. Father, this evening in this place, we are together as a church. We gathered in this place as a church, Father. Different people, different walks of life, different places in their walk with you. We all agree on one thing, that we want to love you with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our might, with all of our strength, with everything, Father. We want to surrender our lives to you, not just to know about you and even know a lot about you, but I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you, Father. Lord, when we stand before you in that day, not to hear words, I do not know you, but rather to just be like an encounter, Father, like one we had just a few minutes ago. Father, let not one person in this room leave this place tonight, Lord, without saying, Lord, I fully surrender my life to you and make a decision to fully commit their hearts to you, Father. To say tonight in this place that you are my first love. That I surrender completely to you, Lord. And I hunger for you, Lord. I want to be like Mary. I want to sit at your feet, Lord. I want to sit at your feet. Don't let us become like the church at Ephesus. Father, where we choose to leave our first love. So distracted by the things of ministry and life and different things. Yes, we believe in the truth. We stand for what's right. But we've we've sinned against you because we've lost our first love. Or let me rather say this, we've left our first love. So Father, let it be like it was. Did you not say to the church at Ephesus that they should once again do the first works? That they should once again do the first works? In other words, go back to the way it was in the beginning. See, he doesn't change anything. It's us that changes it. It's not him that leaves us. It's us that leaves him. So I ask this evening in this place, Father, as we make a decision to surrender to you, that you would just come. Come, Holy Spirit. I know, Father, that your word says that if we knock, the door will be opened. I know, Father, that even to the church at Ephesus, you wrote that it can change. You can repent. You can come back. You can seek again, Father. And I'm always reminded of the story of the prodigal son where he messed up. Now, we may not have messed up. We may be doing things right. But Lord, your response is always amazing. One of love, one of restoration, one of healing. Even if it's just restoration of relationship with you. Don't let us lose the most important thing, which is to know you, Lord. David said, you can take everything from me, but do not take your spirit, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Lord, don't let us become a church that's flame goes out because we have no oil. Let us remain passionate. Let us remain hungry. Let us remain thirsty for you, Lord. All the days of our life. All the days of our life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now right there where you are, just begin to speak to the Lord. You know where you are right now. I know that I want to draw closer to him. I know that I want to make sure that I've put nothing in front of him, nothing before him. Right there where you are in your seat, begin to speak to him. We worship you, Jesus. We honor you, Lord. Tonight in this place, there is none like you. There is none like you, Lord. Take us back, Lord, to do the first works. Like the church in Ephesus, the first works was that passion that they had where they burnt their books and they burnt things and they repented and they cried out to you because they realized that there was no hope without you. Lord, let us never get to that place where we think we can do it without you. We need you in everything. We need you in everything. Can we all stand for just a moment? Let's just worship the Lord just for a moment. Just surrender to him tonight. Just surrender to him. You tell him how much you love him. You make a commitment to him. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and see how many people. This is between you and him tonight.
Oh Lord, my one desire is to have a heart that's after yours, to abide in your presence and to know you more. My soul it cries for you, and my heart, it longs for you. Alleluia. Oh Lord, my one desire is to have a heart that's after yours, to abide in your presence and to know you more. My soul, it cries for you.
If you want to come to the front, you can come to the front. If you want to kneel down in the front, you can kneel down. If you want to worship there, whatever you want to do, just I want you to be free. Let's cry out to God. Let's cry out to Him this evening.
My soul cries out.
Back to Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I put other things before You, but tonight I put You first. I put You first again in my heart, and He will restore you. Just cry out to Him right there where you are. Come on, let's worship.
I only want to sing. If I sing with everything, if I sing for You, my King. Do this all for high, as it's all to lift You high. And I only want to sing, if I sing with everything, if I sing for You, my King. Do this all for high, as it's all to lift You high. And this is no performance, Lord, I pray it's worship. Empty words I can't afford. I'm not chasing feelings, that's not why I'm singing. You're the reason for my song. And I only want to sing, if I sing with everything, if I sing for You, my King. And I can't imagine why I would do this all for high, as it's all to lift You high, it's all to lift You high, to lift You high.
And so, Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, that You are a God of mercy and compassion and love. And this evening we are in this place and we have chosen to go after You first, Lord. You are our first love. Jesus, You are our first love. We put You above everything. First, You are first in our family. You are first in our business. You are first in our church. You are first in our marriage. You are first, Lord, in everything. We put You first. Before anything else, Lord, we love You with all of our heart, with all of our soul. with all of our might, our strength, Lord. We love you. We surrender to you tonight. I pray right now, Father, that you would heal. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Lord, I pray that even broken hearts tonight, Lord, that you will come into our hearts, Father, and that you will touch us, that you will deliver and heal us, Father, and restore us to you, Father, like never before, Father. Let us have the first works, Father, again, our passion, our zeal, our hunger for you, Lord, where nothing else matters, but only you. And so we honor you, we praise you, we worship you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 If you want to just stay in the front a little bit, that's fine. The presence of God is here. Jesus. We just worship you, Lord, tonight in this place. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Father. Okay, let everybody stand real quick. Stand up real quick. Amen. You know, what's so awesome about God is when we cry out to Him, He hears us. And He will answer. Amen. He answers us. Can you say amen? Amen. Isn't it awesome to know that God will answer your prayers? He will answer your cry. You know, that's what He looks. You know, the Bible tells us that He looks at the heart. And that's what matters to Him. When you make that decision and you surrender to Him, He looks at your heart. And I tell you, when we surrender our hearts to God, He brings such deliverance and healing and restoration. You know, I remember when I had a real powerful encounter right when I was really young. I remember at the night that it happened, like all kinds of things went through me. But when I left that place, I kind of didn't really feel a whole lot different, you know. But the next morning I woke up and it was like I was a totally different person. I remember feeling clean. I remember feeling like I'd been completely cleansed. And I want you to know that what happens is, that's why the Bible, when they talk about the church at Ephesus in the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 19, it speaks about how what happened to them was they would begin to repent, they would begin to cry out, because that's what the Spirit of the Lord does. It brings freedom. It brings liberty. The Spirit of God will bring liberty, freedom, and brings change. Sometimes you don't feel it in the moment, but it happens. You know, that's why the Bible describes your walk like a tree. You're either the tree that's going to bring good fruit or bad fruit. But that takes time to develop and to grow. What's important is that we do the first works first and right, and we follow Him and serve Him with all of our hearts. Now, before we close tonight, how about we sing a praise song? Amen? Are we going to sing a praise song? You want to get some of the band up? Let's get some of the band members up. and let's sing a song to the Lord. And let's just celebrate what God has done tonight in this place. Amen. He's done a deep work in our hearts. I really believe there's not one of us in this place that don't need this message. We need to never forget to go after God, our first love, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind. Nothing else matters. If you want to come to the front, you can. Come, let's praise the Lord. There is none like you. Your church is alive, Father, and we are so grateful that you rose out of that grave, and that life, that resurrection power is still alive in us right now. We are so grateful, Father. We honor you, we worship you, we praise you. I pray, Lord, that every person that leaves here tonight will leave with a new zeal and a hunger for more of you. We love you, we praise you, and we worship you in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for coming. And we'll be back tomorrow morning. Don't miss it. Have a great evening in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.